brought along this morning with me some things I was going to show if by chance there were any kids that came forward. Most of us know what this is, an ear of corn with the fruit on the cob. I brought along an apple, a walnut. These things are all over this year, it seems. We trip over them all the time everywhere we go. I brought a soybean pod with the beans inside. There's an acorn I brought with me. I was going to have any kids that might be here identify these different things. This always reminds me, my mother's encouragement to me was that every mighty oak was once a nut that stood its ground. I don't know what she was implying by that. I brought some other very interesting ones with me, though. I wanted to see if the kids would know what they are. First of all, this, it's the head of a weed of some sort that was growing in my garden with its fruit at the top. I brought this little thing that is the seed cone or seed pod from a betula tree, which is a white birch tree, with the hundreds if not thousands of seeds in it from my backyard there. And I brought along a banana, certain things that are fruits per se. None of those would have ended up in the condition that they're in, being coming to fruition, so to speak, being productive, if they would not have stayed connected to the tree or to the vine. When I thought about this scripture earlier than this week and began by asking the question, if you were a tree, how would you describe yourself? Maybe you would describe yourself as a strong oak. Maybe you think you're very strong in what you do and how you live your life. Or maybe you're a beautiful maple that gives off delicious sap. Maybe you're a hardwood. Heaven forbid any of us be hard-headed. Maybe you're a softwood, that you are more compassionate. Maybe you're a weeping willow at this point in your life. Or maybe you're an ash tree that something's bored deep into and destroyed. You see all these trees dying around the valley because of these borers that have gotten into them and have killed them. But I wanted to really ask, if you were a tree, what fruit would you bear? How would people describe you if they were to describe you as a fruit-bearing tree or plant? You know, the trees have various purposes. For shade, wood for building, some just for beauty, some for protection. But without fruit, there wouldn't be any more trees. We go back to the question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, the chicken had to. And the Bible teaches that the animal was created first, and then laid the fruit, the egg, you see, which produced more. It tells us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, I believe, how God created the trees, and all the seed-bearing trees, the fruit-bearing trees. The trees had to be first in order to produce the fruit, which would eventually, which has the seed in it. You see, all fruit has a seed in it, which produces more. And produces more, and it just keeps going and going and going. Without fruit, we'd have no trees, we'd have no plants, because all these living things produce a fruit of some sort that carries on God's creation on and on and on and on and on. See, every tree bears some kind of fruit in order to keep the process going. In the same way, we as God's people are called to bear fruit, because in this way we keep the witness of our great Creator alive and going by bearing fruit like the trees. And that fruit is the result of God's Spirit living in us and our connection to Christ. In John's Gospel, John is talking about Jesus being the Son of God. John writes his Gospel to present Jesus in this light, that Jesus is the Son of God. That's why you see a lot of miracles in John's Gospel, because he shows the miracles that Jesus did that it was believed of that day only God could do. So if Jesus was doing them, Jesus had to be God in the flesh. in this particular time, Jesus is in the upper room with the disciples in the night before he is crucified. He's teaching them and talking to them, telling them he's going to go away, he's going to leave them. He washes their feet, talks about discipleship, talks about the Holy Spirit, teaches them concerning peace. But one of the things he teaches about is being fruitful, you see. And he uses the example of the vine and the branches to teach this important principle, which is only by staying connected to Jesus will we produce the product that we were intended to produce in the first place, and that is life for others and proof of God's great presence. You know, we think a lot of times that we were created for us, to be us, for our good, and all that, but that's not really why. We were created to glorify God, to bring glory to God, you see. And we do that by producing fruit. Jesus is talking about these certain principles. If you notice all through this part of the Gospel of John, how many times Jesus uses the word I. Peace I leave with you, I give to you. I have told you now before it happens, I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. The world must learn that I love the Father and I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. He continues in chapter 15 by saying, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, I want to be careful here, because the misconception oftentimes when teaching this particular part of John's Gospel is that if we don't bear fruit for God now, he's going to cut us off and throw us into the fire. Well, eventually there's going to be a judgment, you see. Eventually we're going to be cut off. But God's grace extends all throughout our lifetime, you see. God is a God of forgiveness. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God doesn't cut us off just because we're not doing something that he wants us to do, so he cuts us off and throws us away. That's not God. That's not grace, you see. What Jesus is teaching here, he's setting up the mindset, this picture, that Jesus is the vine and the Father is the gardener. The Father's the gardener. And he does cut off, as the gardener does, the branches that bear no fruit. While the branches that do bear fruit, he prunes. And many will tell you, and it is true, that the pruning that takes place in our lives is a lot of the trials and tribulations that we go through. They sort of prune us, and they actually make us healthier, which pruning does to the vine. It makes it bear more fruit, see? And that's true. And there is truth to the doctrines and the principles in the Bible that when we turn away from Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit draws back from us and allows us to go on our own until we're convicted and again repent and turn back. But what's important here is that, as he says, you are already clean. In the King James Version, I believe it says, you are already pure because of the word I've spoken to you. So they already know the truth. The followers of Christ already know the truth because of Jesus' word. But what he says next is the key verse in this part, the key teaching here. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, you're not going to do anything for the kingdom of God unless you stay connected with Jesus. You see? Because there's that wonderful connection from God the Father to Jesus the Son to Jesus' disciples. And as we stay connected to Jesus, we also stay connected to God. When we disconnect ourselves from Jesus, that's when the trouble starts. I am the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can't do anything. You can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like the branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Now, what Jesus is saying here is that for those who do not stay connected to Jesus and remain in Jesus are like these branches that have withered. A branch that withers is a branch that's broken off from the main vine and is laid on the ground and has become very dry and lifeless. And along comes the gardener who picks off all those dead branches and throws them in the fire. That's going to happen someday. The Bible teaches us that there's a time coming when those who have disconnected themselves from Jesus will be thrown into the fire. But look at what he says. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask whatever you want and it'll be given to you. And this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. So, what Jesus is talking about here is the importance of staying connected to Jesus, because by staying connected to Jesus, not only do we bear a lot of fruit, because we can't do it on our own, but we give God the glory. This apple glorifies God, the Creator. Who could create such a thing so delicious and so pretty in color? Something that satisfies and meets the needs of our bodies, nutritionally, taste-wise. This didn't happen because of some big bang or some freak thing in nature that happened eons and eons ago, because the laws of thermodynamics don't support that, because as things expand, they get less complex. That's a very complex thing, with the seed inside the stem for where it was connected to the tree. Now, stayed connected to the tree. Why? So that it could grow, so that it could mature, because a time was coming when this thing that God created to continue that cycle would drop to the ground, the seed would be sown in the ground, or maybe a bird would pick it up and sow it somewhere else, but it would reproduce apples. Christians reproduce Christians. That's called bearing fruit, you see, when we work for the kingdom of God, and it gives glory to God. And there's this process in trees. The seed comes up and becomes a tree and matures, produces its fruit, the fruit falls to the ground, and hopefully they will spring back up and produce more trees, which produce more seed. So it is with the Christian and the follower of Jesus Christ. But that cannot happen unless we stay connected to Jesus Christ. And that's what he's trying to tell his disciples here. You're not going to bear any fruit unless you stay connected to Jesus. You're not going to glorify God unless you stay connected to Jesus. Anybody that's trying to glorify God without including Jesus in that process and in the equation is not truly glorifying God in their life. We say, well, am I connected to the vine? You see, we ask ourselves, am I connected to the vine? What fruit has the vine dresser produced through me? We're filled with the Holy Spirit. It helps us to grow. We're given spiritual gifts of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And those are the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, as they are used by the believer to live out our lives in whatever way we do, Christ is seated in other people. They see Christ in us. They see the goodness of Jesus Christ and the glory of God in us, and they benefit by that, say, when others hear the gospel. We say, well, I've produced a lot of fruit. I go to church on Sunday. I send my money to this certain organization. I help out at the food bank. Well, that is not really what Jesus is talking about. Because in a lot of cases, these things are self-centered. Producing fruit has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with the gardener. Glorifying the gardener, you see. And that's our purpose as Christians. It's to glorify God through our relationship with Jesus Christ that can't happen unless we stay connected to Jesus Christ. And all of these things that are produced this time of year, we call them produce. Because they're produced by the trees, by the vines, by the plants. They're the product of something that's taken place in those plants. Those plants just didn't appear by themselves. They were created by Almighty God from the very beginning, and they spread and they spread and they spread and they spread. Just like the gospel spreads when you and I use the Holy Spirit and our spiritual gifts to spread the gospel and tell others about Jesus, that seed of Christ is sown in them. You see. And God takes it from there. Now the sad part of it is the enemy tries to stop our production. He tries to stop us from being productive. How does he do that? Well, have you ever gone through a drought? I'm talking about a dry time in your life. It just seemed like you were so dry. Like there was an absence of God in your life. And the enemy's saying, God's nowhere. He's not going to help you. You're on your own. You're going to wither away. You're going to die. Or maybe you had a time in your life when you feel like the world's just simply eating you up, like, and it's just like a little tiny boar, like, has gotten into you, and it's just eating you alive from the inside out, and you feel so unspiritual, and your life is evidence of that. Or maybe you're unfertilized. You know, the lightning in the sky that we see in the sky produces nitrogen, and the rain brings the nitrogen down and waters the plants. And we see the result of it in the green and the way the plants grow. But there have been times in life when I've felt so unfertilized, so unenriched. Where do I go for this? I go to the Word of God. I go in prayer to the Lord. And the Lord brings that new strength. Maybe we become like the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 3. Remember the Pharisees came out to be baptized. John the Baptist said, "You brood of vipers, brood of vipers. Who warned you to repent from the wrath to come? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." And what he was doing, he was challenging them. He was saying, you say you repent, let's see the fruit of that repentance by your actions, by the way you talk, by the things that you do, and how they glorify God through Jesus Christ. And that was the problem. The Pharisees thought they were glorifying God, but they weren't, because they were rejecting Jesus, God's Son. Fruit is the produce, it's the product of who we are and what we do. It's our purpose to give off something that will benefit others and continue the message of Jesus as Savior. And you know, sometimes when we don't really see any fruit from our lives, I always ask myself, have I disconnected from the vine? Have I gotten away from Jesus? My life doesn't really seem to be glorifying God. Well, the only person I have to blame is myself, that I've disconnected from the Lord, see. And when I've done that, there will be no fruit. Apart from Him, I can't do anything, not only to please God, but to glorify God. He was trying to tell the people this. He was trying to tell the Pharisees this. And he's trying to tell us, as John wrote it down. He says, "Remain in my love. Obey my commands. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Love each other as I have loved you." When we start living like Jesus, we're going to see fruit produced. You know, rather than thinking I'm producing fruit because I'm going to church, maybe we should ask somebody to come along to church with us, sharing the message of Jesus and our hope and all that God has done in our lives. Sometimes we don't see the fruit. Sometimes we work so hard for the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ and we're truly doing the Lord's work, but we don't see the fruit. And we let that get us all worked up, like we're worthless, like we're not doing anything. But if we just trust in God, sooner or later there will be fruit. Because some of it takes quite a little while to mature. And the fruit that we produce that brings glory to the Father is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people. It's a very powerful thing to do that. And it's a great privilege that we have as Christians to be seeders of the gospel. There's a psalm, and I can't remember which one it is, that says, "He who goes out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him." We just trust in the Lord, sowing the seeds of the gospel, telling others about Jesus, sharing the love of Christ with others, being who Jesus has really called us to be, rather than worrying about all the works we're doing and writing them down, just simply being Jesus, showing love and telling others about Christ. Not only will there be fruit, but our Father, the gardener, will be glorified greatly. That's a journey that we're all going through, that we're all trying to find out what our spiritual gifts are. We're all trying to find out what the Lord wants us to do, and some people get so wrapped up in that, I say you just need to relax and live life. Sometimes hindsight is 20/20. But keeping Jesus at the forefront of our minds, our mouths, and our hearts will produce a great harvest of righteousness. Let's pray. Our great God, we sometimes struggle.